Hey gang, you ever been sitting around with your friends trying to figure out how to play 20 Flight Rock by Eddie Cochran? Well, I have an app for you. Whether you are a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on bass guitar or ukulele to over a million songs. You also get tools like a tuner, a metronome, a chord library, lessons, videos, and more. Go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone and start playing today. That's ultimateguitar.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Maybe you're listening to this on your travels. If you are, hi. I hope you're having safe travels. I hope if you're on a plane or if you're in an airport, it's not too obnoxious. I hope there's not some kid crying over my voice through your earbuds on a plane. Maybe you're in a car driving. If you are, hey, thank you for listening to the show, and I hope that you guys all have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving, and you spend it with people that you love. I'm going to, and I'm excited about that. I've got a great show for you guys today. JP Welsh from the band Summer Fires is here. Their debut EP, Without a World, comes out Thursday, January 18th, 2018. It was produced by my dear friend Frenchie Smith, good friend of the show. He's been on a few times. He was just on with Taylor Muse from Quiet Company because he just produced a new Quiet Company album. But he produced their debut EP, which has 7 songs, almost an album, almost not quite an EP. You can get a taste of this EP by checking out their single Coming Down. Go to summerfires.com. And they're also doing a release show for their EP on Thursday, January 18th at Stubbs Indoors here in Austin. Go to summerfires.com. It's a great rock band. JP and I have a fantastic conversation. He's a great songwriter. He's a great dude. JP Welsh from the band Summer Fires. Conversation coming up after I tell you what's going on with me. It's been a while since I've checked in. I haven't talked to you guys on the mic since I did the Artist Development Program show. I hosted it at the 310 ACL Live. And it was a great show. James Junius, Gina Chavez, Magna Carta, Migrant Kids, Jane Ellen Bryant, Charlie Faye and the Fayettes, and Jackie Benson all played. They all played amazing sets. I did a lot of hosting. I had to go up before every band and after every band. That was a lot of hosting to do. And I made this video, which you heard me talk about before, and we debuted it there on the big giant video screen there. They played it a couple of times. It was great to see. We did a good job. I was proud, and I was happy to see it. Hopefully, when it's up on the internet, I'll post a link to it on the How Did I Get Here page. But it was a great show. Everyone played their asses off. It was absolutely fantastic. Then Friday, I went to San Antonio and played with Skyrocket. Great show. Good times. It was a little slower show than normal. Still a lot of people there. Still good. Still energetic and great. And Saturday, we played this girl's birthday party here in Austin at the Hangar, and that was on the roof, and this cold front blew in that day, and so it was real windy and kind of chilly and just kind of freezy, and I feel like I've got kind of this thing since then. That wind shit, when it changes, if you live here in Austin, you know what I'm talking about. I guess anywhere. The weather just changes all the time into this weird, like one day it's 85 degrees, the next day it's fucking, you know, 62, and I guess that wasn't dramatic enough. One day it's 98, the next day it's 53. Like that's fucked up and windy, you know, and it makes for a tired voice. Plus, today I spent the day working on some songs with Scrappy Judd Newcomb, who I'm making an album with, or I'm making an EP with in the new year. We worked on some songs. I did a lot of singing. We had a great time. I've done a couple of podcasts today. It's been a busy day. Good weekend, you know. Things are going good. Heading out of town, going to spend time with the family in Houston for Thanksgiving. I'm going to make some homemade cranberry sauce. I know, it's not very exciting. But I'm going to try it out. I'm going to try a from-scratch cranberry sauce myself. See how it goes. I'll let you know how it goes. Okay? All right, so if you're in Houston on Friday, which is Black Friday, November 24th, Skyrocket will be playing at Fitzgerald's. Come on out. Have a good time. Those shows are always very fun. I love Fitzgerald's in Houston. Great place to play. All right? I will not bore you any longer. I hope that you guys all have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Spend it with people you love. Be safe. Be happy. And if you live in Houston, come on out on Friday. We'll see you there. All right? Enjoy my conversation with J.P. Welsh from the band Summer Fires. Their debut EP, Without a World, comes out January 18th, 2018. And you can get their single, Coming Down, now. Go to summerfires.com for all your Summer Fires needs. All right? Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy my conversation with JP. Let's get down.
Dangerous game.
It is a dangerous game. What's Summer Fires? Why do you have that name? What does that name mean?
So it's kind of a funny story. It's not very funny, I guess. Okay. Yeah. So I was looking for a name. You know, I decided I was going to do this project and start taking music more seriously and record some stuff. And I was like, well, I got to have a name. You know, that thing that everybody goes through. And you come up with like 1,000 names and they're all like, for some reason or another, pretty lame.
Yeah.
And then one day I was just kind of like frustrated about it. This is like way over dramatic exactly what was going on, but I was frustrated about it, just like driving my car, and I put on a Third Eye Blind record and was listening to some random deep track of a Third Eye Blind record. Not even their first one that was popular. Like, it was like a random Third Eye Blind record. And one of the lines was like, winter moves into summer fires. And I just like heard it. And was
that's a good line.
Oh, I like that.
Not a fan of that guy.
Yeah. He's a bit strange. But yeah, so it was that, and it was odd because like right as I'd picked it, I also had decided I was moving to Austin, and it was the same summer that all those Bastrop fires happened. So I was like, well, this is kind of serendipitous. I guess I'll kind of stick with it.
So you made an album with Frenchie, an EP?
I did, yeah.
It's a pretty long EP.
It's a very long EP.
You could have just done two more songs and called it an album,
well,
right?
Well, we kind of did.
Oh, you did?
we recorded 10 songs, and it was kind of, we had booked the time with him and set up the album, and then we lost our lead guitar player like the week before we went to the studio.
Hey guys, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, one of those. Just didn't have the time for it. Had to move into something else. And he was like, I mean, I can come on the record and do that if you want. And I was like, well, if you're gonna leave, then we'll figure it out.
Right.
So we recorded 10 songs that way, and then it was gonna be an album. And then like after a month or two, I was like, I think we could do a couple of those a little bit better. And I just kind of got all perfectionist on it, and we went back in and recorded 3 more, and then decided it'd be a more powerful EP than if we did the whole record that way. So
it's good.
Yeah.
Good decision. You know, it's a tough decision. It's kind of like you got to let some kids go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not all coming on the trip.
Yeah, yeah.
No one, not everyone's going to Disney World, guys.
Yeah, and it was hard, and I think some of them might maybe come back around one day, you know, but for now, it's kind of a long EP, short little mini album somewhere in between.
Yeah. And so how did you meet Frenchie, who produced your EP?
Well, oddly enough, whenever I was, like I said before, we started this little podcast, I came down here whenever I lived in college. I went to A&M, so I lived in College Station, and I came down here to record just like an EP on my own, and I played all the instruments except for the drums, and I recorded it at the Bubble with Alex Lyon.
Okay.
And it was before he like only did mastering, and I remember one of the days we were in, you know, because the Bubble's kind of split up into two little studios, and it was one of the days we weren't in the main room, we were in the side room, and Frenchie was there with some other band in the main studio, and I like met him, and we were just like talking about random stuff, and he kind of went on one of his like Frenchie rants that he'll go on, and like said something about Tom Petty, and it actually sparked like a weird idea. Like Alex and I left, and we're like, oh, we need to do these backing vocals like Tom Petty, and it was like just like kind of a strange little run-in that we had, and I remembered it. And then whenever I moved down here and I wanted to put together a whole record, I was like, well, I listened to a bunch of things that he had done, and a buddy of mine had tipped me off to this band called The Front Bottoms that he had produced a couple years back, and I was like, oh, that's crazy, well, just hit him up, talked to him, met with him, and just kind of everything rolled together from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
he's great. What were you in College Station? Tell me about that. What was going on? What were you doing? What were you going to school for?
So I went to school for English rhetoric because I was going to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And that was like the right path for that.
What kind of lawyer do you think you were going to be?
I was going to be like the most like sellout like business law money lawyer guy. And I like had it all planned out. I took the LSAT. I graduated college. I got into law school. I went to move and go to University of Florida Law School, and my apartment fell through. Like, the plans that I had for my living fell through. And
That's Gainesville, right?
That's Gainesville, yeah. Gainesville, yeah. Florida. And it fell through, and I was like, I don't want to do this. So I kind of took it as, like, a sign. And I was like, I'm going to move to Austin instead. Yeah. It was super, like, gut decision. My dad was, like, not... pleased
with
it.
I can
at
only
first.
Imagine those poor people.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? It's just like your apartment fell through. What's wrong now, man? It's a sign. I'm going to move to Austin.
I'm going to go be a musician. Yeah. It was really out of left field, and they were not ready for it. My mom was super supportive. And it was funny, too, because my dad, like, he was like, you know, you're going to be a lawyer. What's going on? Like, you had all this stuff. It was going to be great.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, like, two or three of his, like, golf buddies were like, oh, your son's doing music? That's really cool. He's following his dreams. He was like, yeah, it is really cool. And so now he's on board. He's super supportive.
What is your dad? Is he a lawyer?
No. He's a musician. No. But his dad was a doctor, wanted him to be a doctor. As he's finishing school,
yeah,
he decides that he doesn't want to be a doctor, and his dad like didn't speak to him for like 10 years, and he ended up doing restaurants, and he was like a restaurateur or whatever. So he did the same thing, and like it took him like not even a couple weeks. Like a couple weeks later, he was like, okay, you do what you want to do.
Was there any worry that he was going to take his dad's route and you were going to spend a decade not talking to him?
Oh,
no.
Maybe not that extreme, but okay. I was a little nervous that they were just going to be kind of upset.
Overly disappointed.
Yeah. But then I was like, what can you do?
So where did you live? Where are you from?
I was born in Arlington, outside of Dallas.
Okay.
And then actually in 2000, I moved to College Station.
Okay.
And then stayed in College Station for far too long. No offense to anybody that's from College Station, but if you live there for longer than a decade, you'll kind of... It's a small town in Texas, you know what I mean? It's getting bigger, you know, it has a university in it, but... I didn't really notice either until you like leave College Station, and then you're like, oh, this is Texas.
Yeah.
Like this is like
the
old school thoughts of Texas.
It's what they're talking about when they're talking about us in other places.
Exactly. And we were all, you know, growing in high school and stuff. It's like, well, I mean, there's like, you know, 150,000 people in this town. Like it's a city almost. No, it's not.
No.
It's really not.
It's, in that way, in that sort of conservative way, isn't that where the George Bush drive runs into the Clayton Williams Library or something like that?
The George Bush Library is there.
Okay. But there is like a...
Is that the CIA thing? Is that...
No, Clayton Williams was a guy that ran for governor that... he was the guy that lost to Ann Richards because he told the women, if they're getting raped, just to lay back and enjoy it.
Oh, God. That sounds like something that would be in College Station. Yeah.
Great quote.
Yeah.
That was a career ending quote.
Yeah.
He also was like a cell phone magnate as well.
Okay.
Is that a good word?
That's magnate? A good word. I like it.
You're an English guy.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate
That's
it.
That's a guy.
Yeah. He was doing it. He was successful in it.
So your dad was a restaurateur up in Dallas, the Dallas area.
In Dallas, and then he left, like he started a corporate restaurant chain in the late 70s and then like left the corporate
thing. What was that?
It was Cheddar's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. It's It's a real restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. Yeah. I've never eaten there, though.
No.
It seems like they would just have macaroni and cheese is what,
yeah.
what it looks like to me.
Yeah. It was like, it started out just like burgers and chicken fried steak and stuff back in the 80s and stuff. Started in the same town, same time as Chili's. So they're like rivals, if you will.
Yeah. Sure that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah. So then you guys moved to College Station as a family?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we all moved to College Station.
High school there mm-hmm. and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, now I can see it would be weird.
Yeah.
And then you went to college there.
And then I stuck around for college, which in retrospect, well, you know, I don't have any regrets, I guess, but, I probably could have gotten out of town, but just one track mind, I guess.
Where did you obviously were affected a lot, I feel like, and I don't mean this in any kind of way, but you were definitely affected by a Foo Fighters era rock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love all that. All the alternative grunge 90s.
What was that? Like, is that when you got into music?
You know, I still am not completely sure exactly what happened. I think maybe it's just from like growing up in it and it being like, you know, the music that was on all the time. But, you know, like my sisters, you know, loved Britney Spears and NSYNC and all that, you know, and so we listened to some of that stuff too.
Were they older? Sorry.
Yeah, they were older. I'm the youngest.
Okay. Out of how many?
Out of three.
Okay. So two older sisters?
Two older sisters. And
they teach you a lot of stuff about girls?
Yeah, kind of. I think
you're better with girls
now
than a lot of your friends.
I think now it has helped me with girls or women a lot more than whenever you were like a kid, because they say the things that they want to hear, but they are also not really being honest with what high school versions of themselves wanted. You know what I mean? But you know, they're like, always be nice and, you know, just be really sweet and be honest and like all this stuff. And it's like,
meanwhile,
all perfect advice.
Up in a Camaro and smoking a cigarette. Yes. Hey, babe, get in the car.
Yeah. And they're like, okay. It's the perfect advice for like the truth about relationships. It was all great. I'm so glad I know it now. But in high school, it like completely just bombed every time. They're like, oh, he's sweet, but no thanks.
Right.
Pass.
Right.
But, yeah.
But they were into the pop movement that was happening at the time.
They were just into like whatever was on the radio, you know, pop. And then the early 2000s with all the like rap movement, you know.
Oh yeah,
all that. That was.
Were you into the rap rock thing that happened?
Like
with
Limp
Bizkit,
like Limp Bizkit
and
stuff.
Yeah, all that crew and that.
I never got super
Thrice?
Deep into it.
Is that
I listened
rap?
To POD. That was probably about
What's
as
POD.
POD was the Youth of the Nation. We are. The Youth of the Nation. I don't know. It's super depressing song about kids committing suicide and shooting up their school. It was super dark, really dark, but like Christian. It was weird.
Like a
Christian
Creed kind
rap
of...
core. Yeah, it was very strange.
It's a lot of stuff you're trying to stuff into
too,
a
too many big list.
POD. What does it stand for?
I think it stood for Payable on Death. Yeah.
Oh, because of God.
Because of God. Yeah. Yep,
there
Christian.
You go.
Full circle.
Did you grow up with religion and stuff? Is that how you were hip to that
band? I was raised Catholic, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was raised Catholic.
But we don't have rock bands.
No.
It's not Catholic rock.
Not
band.
A
Where
Catholic,
does that come from?
I guess Dropkick Murphys are probably a Catholic rock band, wouldn't they?
I mean, U2 is a Catholic rock band.
Yeah, I guess
but
so.
But I mean...
That's about as far as it goes.
There's not like a... Christian rock doesn't seem like a thing that happens with Catholicism very much,
no,
is it?
No, it's more non-denominational, isn't it? Like, just kind of more of a general, like... You know,
I don't know. Do you still practice? I mean, was that something that you stuck with or?
No, I don't.
Why?
I didn't like just the general vibe of it. I feel like, I feel like I get it and I understand why people do it, but
that's how I feel, but I like that. I get it,
but I'm not. Yeah. I understand what you're doing. I'm not going to come
year after year, Sunday after
it.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Decade after decade, really?
I remember being a kid too and like waking up and being like my mom being like, "You need to get up. We're going to church today." And me being like, "I don't want to go to church." She's like, "I don't care if you don't want to go. You're going to go." And I was like, "But I don't want to. Why do we have to go?" And she's like, "That's not really what it's about. You just have to go even if you don't want to. I don't always want to go." "Well, then why are you going?" And like as an adult, that sounded silly as a kid, but like, really, if you don't want to go, don't go, you know?
Right. Like, he doesn't know that.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I just said he with a capital H. Yeah.
To anyone listening, he did point it. He pointed to the sky. Yeah. So no, my mother is still very religious, and my sisters are religious-ish as well. I think
it's hard to be
are.
Catholic yeah. now. It's hard to think of like someone that grew up with Britney Spears and then all of a sudden is very Catholic.
Yeah, and
like,
they,
that just sounds weird.
And my sisters too. Always, whenever I was younger, I was like, my oldest sister was like, oh, she's like bad. Like she goes out and drinks and like has fun. Yeah, and now yeah. it's like the roles have reversed, I guess, in some way. I don't know that I'm being bad by any means.
Do they have any kids or anything now?
My oldest sister now has two kids. Actually, yesterday I was just in College Station for my nephew's fourth birthday party.
Nice.
Which actually there's an odd story with that. I hurt myself. His birthday was at a trampoline center, like one of those like trampoline things. And this is the first time that I've realized that I'm starting to get too old to do stupid stuff. Like you just
How old
can't
are you
really
in
pull
your 20s?
I'm 26. Yeah.
Geez, you're not too old.
Yeah. Though. Well, I'm apparently too old to try and do a backflip on a trampoline because I don't know why I did it in the first place. I have never been able to do a backflip on a trampoline, but for some reason I just thought that I could. And there's like no one out there. There's like a couple children, like a few trampolines away. And I'm just like, oh, I mean, I'll give it a shot. And it's just the first jump. Didn't even give it a good bounce. And like just slowly rotated and landed like right on like my neck, like the back of my head, and like collapsed and like saw stars. It was very embarrassing.
You all right today?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm okay. It's like a little sore, but I just like crumpled onto the trampoline and everybody was like, what is going on? I was like, I tried to do a backflip. They're like, why? It was a bad idea. And I was like, it was a bad idea.
JP stands for John Paul?
Patrick.
Patrick. John Patrick.
Mm-hmm. John Patrick Welsh the second. Very Catholic.
That is extremely, yeah.
Yeah.
John Patrick Welsh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a, are you a person with a love interest?
I am, yeah. I have a girlfriend. All right. I have a girlfriend, yeah.
So sometimes nowadays you don't know how to ask that. Like, yeah. So I've asked someone before flat out, do you have a girlfriend? And they're like, no, I have a boyfriend. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah. And, man.
I thought you were going to say, and I have a boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, and you run into a lot, I feel like, these days, people that are like, well, I mean, I have someone that I care about, but I care about a lot of people, and I don't think that I should put any of these things in a box.
Right.
And I should do this and this.
But you have a girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend, yeah.
And you're her boyfriend.
And I'm her boyfriend.
How does she like, are any of the songs about her?
She and I have not been dating as long as the songs on the record have existed. But I've been writing some new stuff, and she's involved, definitely. And inspirational. She's actually a musician, too. She's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah. She does, she lived in LA for a while and then came back here and is friends with a guy and he's like a producer and stuff. And so he like produces music and she writes lyrics and sings and they do stuff for like licensing. They just got a licensing deal out in LA. Yeah.
That's great.
They're called Becca with an extra A. Very cool.
That's cool.
Becca.
Yeah. Yeah. Becca.
Cause his name's Aaron. Yeah. but yeah, it's really good stuff. It's really cool.
Does she write at all with you?
Honestly, we had never done it before. I've been growing on that. Historically, I am not the easiest. Like, I'm getting better at writing with other people because you get like the ego thing, and then you kind of shut down sometimes if you're, you know.
Did something happen? But when you worked with Frenchie, I know that he can get involved and be like, oh, you know what, that verse, it's not very good.
No, that was helpful. It was helpful. And it's like one of those things where it's like, none of that stuff's necessary anyway. It's like, be open and like write with as many people as you can. Cause that's when you get the best stuff. I feel like it's like you get a little bit of something from everybody. Everybody has like their talents, I guess, you know?
I've gotten a lot out of it and I've taken my biggest steps as a writer, like in one song with people who showed me something,
yeah,
or opened something up in me that I didn't know about.
Well, it's been really exciting. So it's kind of been a development, like from this record. Like I wrote all the songs on the EP, Without a Word, that's coming out.
Without a Word, available January 18th.
Yes.
Sorry.
No. And then since then, like the lineup has changed a few times. We've gotten more people involved in the band, things like that. And the more that I've worked with other people, the more I see the benefit of it. And like, you know, saw from the beginning, but still like, you know, it's like a warming up thing. You got to get warmed up for it. And, I was writing a song and I like couldn't get anything with it. And then Becca, my girlfriend, was like, well, what about this? And what about this? And then she ended up essentially like crafting a whole chorus for this song, and it's awesome, and like, you know, put my spin on it and had her stuff on it. And then ever since, in the past like 2 or 3 months, like I've been writing a lot with like the newer members of our band and stuff, and
it
feels really good. I feel like I'm like opening a new page, you know, where I can like actually, you know, you always have this fear that like, oh, if I let somebody in, like maybe it'll like take something that I did and like make it bad or like hurt something in some way. And the reality is like, if you like let other people in, like you're gonna like see the best of yourself. So I'm excited about it.
That was pretty profound. That was profound. Look at you being profound.
Yeah.
So when did you learn how to play guitar and why?
So I got a guitar. My dad had a guitar. He had this, now I'm forgetting what the guitar's called. But he had this guitar that my mom bought him in like the early 90s for his birthday, and he like never touched it. It starts with like an A. Now I'm going to be very upset.
Alvarez.
Yes.
There you go. Boom. That's the kind of guitar a mom would buy a dad.
Absolutely.
In the early 90s.
In the early 90s. Alvarez. So is this Alvarez? So on point. So my mom got my dad this Alvarez. He never played it. Then that's where we moved to College Station. I was probably like 11. And I like was like, hey, what's the deal with this guitar?
But what is the deal? Why did she buy him, you know, something that was in the hundreds of dollars? If he wasn't interested in it, was she like, hey man, serenade me, bro?
I think she was probably looking for a little spice, and he just wasn't getting that. No, I think he's always been way into music and very interested in it, and so I think maybe he expressed some sort of interest in it. In fact, like I just went with my mom to buy my guitar again for my dad. Just like a couple months ago, because now I've like taken all the guitars. Right? No, he asked this time.
Okay.
He was like, I'd like to have a guitar around just so that I can like fiddle around and play. And like, he's 65 now. So he's like kind of just chilling and wants to do stuff. And
right.
Learn.
So what was he like a Led Zeppelin? Like, was that stuff you heard
he's like
coming up? Like rock and roll?
Led Zeppelin, Moody Blues, Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
All kinds of things, but the crazy thing is it's taking a turn, right? So you like all that stuff was like what he would always like. He'd be like, "JP, you have to hear this, you know, record." We listened to like REM, and we listened to
that's cool.
Loved that. Loved REM. Loved Zeppelin, the Beatles. He's a huge Beatles fan. Loves the Rolling Stones. I've seen the Who with him. Like we kind of turned it into like a thing. Like my biggest bond with my dad is probably music. And whenever I was growing up, I'd be like, "Hey, I want to go to this show." And he'd be like, all right, yeah, let's go. So, like, he, like, went with me to Blink-182. You know what I mean? And I remember people being like, oh, your dad's really cool for going that. Like, we went and saw Linkin Park. Like, there's some in there that are, like, really crazy. And it turns out, like, now my dad is hitting me up with, like, way cooler music than I know. Like, he was like, hey, JP, I'm going to go see Warpaint. You want to meet me in Houston to see Warpaint open up for Depeche Mode? And I was like, I'm busy, but that's dope. Like, his music taste is great. He loves Interpol. He loves The Editors. He loves all kinds of...
How did that happen?
He has XM, and he listens to, like, Sirius XMU, like, the college radio station, and, like, whatever's, like, new and up and coming. Like, he called me the other day and was like, hey, what are you doing on Friday? I was like, oh, I'm working. And he was like, get off work. I got us tickets to go see Washed Out, and we're going to go see this, like, cool, like, dream pop band. And, dude, it's like, he's super into it. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. So...
Where do you work?
I work at Lambert's Barbecue. Yeah.
Love that place.
Yeah, it's the most flexible, like, gig that I think is, like,
you're
one of the best.
A waiter?
Yeah.
Downstairs?
I'm server downstairs, okay. Yeah. It's the best, it's the best waiting tables job I've ever had, for sure.
I guess you guys are closing tables, in that back porch now. It's getting cold.
Yeah, they dropped the little sides on it and turned those heaters on.
It's been a while. I played there a couple years ago. I don't go there like I used to. I should.
It's changed.
Is there still
my
music?
Band was the last band to play a ticketed like event like that. Like they stopped booking with C3 there, and then it kind of just turned into there was this girl Cassie who was doing booking for a while, who was really cool, friend of ours, and we played her last show, and then now Will Bridges. Who
Antone's guy.
Owns Antone's, who also is involved with Lambert's. He is doing it, but now it's all just going to be, what is it called? Like residencies and stuff. So it'll be like the shows. First, so for the next 3 months, the first Thursday of every month, you know, this bluegrass band will play, and then it's like country on Friday, and then Saturday's like more, you know, blues, you know, and it kind of just has the three or four different genres that just kind of rotate through every week.
Seems like it would be a good room for jazz. And like, I mean, I tried to play a rock show there. And it, you know, yeah. I mean, it was just the room doesn't lend itself to that.
It doesn't. And there's like tables, a nice piano. And stuff in it.
Yeah,
too.
You can have like a less people, a trio, not overly loud, still enjoy the night.
Yeah. Kevin Lovejoy plays there every Sunday.
That's my guy.
For a long time. And he sounds fantastic. There are a lot of good musicians that have come through that.
But
room,
he plays there every Sunday?
Great. Every Sunday night for like 7. As long as there's not like a private event, he's playing.
7 to what?
7 to 9. 7 to 9 every Sunday. Kevin Lovejoy.
I'm going, man. Yeah. Let me tell you something about Kevin Lovejoy.
He's great.
I mean, me and him are old. But I'm older than him even. And we were in a band right when he graduated high school.
Oh, shit.
We had a band that summer. Me, Kevin, his brother Chris that plays drums. Do you know that guy?
No.
The master percussionist guy.
Really?
Yeah. And, my cousin, their mom... Jenny Lovejoy was my little cousin's Montessori teacher.
Oh,
and
wow.
I used to take my little cousins to school. And one day she was like, "Don't you sing?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, my sons are looking for a singer. Here's the number." I went home, called him, and went over there, and we had a band.
That's dope.
Yeah. We're still great friends.
Didn't he play in Spoon for a little while,
too? He did play in Spoon for a while.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. He's played in a lot of bands. I think he played with John Mayer for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool, too.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? Like, John Mayer's obviously, like, a bigger artist than Spoon, but I'm still like, yeah, but Spoon, though.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Exactly. Spoon is pretty great.
Spoon's great.
So what brought you, Spoon. why Austin? Obviously, it's a music town, but how did you, you knew about it from growing up in Arlington and College Station?
Yeah, and I guess, if I'm being honest, it was probably, like, the safest big city move, I guess. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's, like, the nearest. It's not too far away from family.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's, like, you're, you know, 2 hours away from home, but you can see him if you need to, and
right.
you know, all that. But yeah, honestly, yeah, I don't know that I could live anywhere else in Texas at this point other than Austin. I think Austin is about as Texas as I can be. And I'm a born and raised Texan, but I think this is about like, this is the threshold for me now.
Right.
It'd be tough going anywhere else.
Yeah. It'd be tough going to like Amarillo or something.
Yeah. I don't think I could pull off Amarillo.
What's the one that's real weird? There's one that's real weird.
I'll let you answer that one.
It has two names. It's where my family first moved from Miami.
Names.
Right?
Like El Paso? Or
no.
Like two names, like as in like a nickname?
No.
And the real name?
there's two words in the name.
Oh, okay.
There was something I was about to ask you about that stuff, though.
Odessa, Midland?
No.
Odessa, Permian? What is that?
No,
what is that
Midland,
football?
Odessa, yeah.
Midland, Odessa.
Yeah. No, I like it up there. That's weird. That's
yeah, that's
weird.
Cool, though, yeah.
But it's cool weird. So you came to Austin, and that was after you had made the EP here? What year was that you came?
So I recorded that in 2013 with Alex. Released
What'd you do
one,
with it?
I released one song and then tabled the whole rest of it.
Where did you release it?
Just like on Spotify online and stuff. And then it's off now. It hasn't been up there in a long time. Because I completely changed the band. Like, it's, like, not
It's
even,
a different
like,
thing.
It
yeah.
was, like sure. I recorded that right whenever the Lumineers had come out.
And there's a lot of hay and ho in there.
There was a little bit of that. There was some. I remember specifically telling Alex that I wanted more, like, foot stomps and hand claps in the song.
Yeah.
It does not.
Do you have a reverb chamber?
Yes. Yeah. yeah. Do you have a real hall? I feel like this isn't going to do it for me.
Yeah.
I need it to be authentic. Yeah. But it was, so I did that. Honestly, it's just, everything's been a really good learning experience. I feel like I've learned a lot. And, honestly, like with the lineup, the crew that I have now, I'm super excited to record something new.
How did you initially find a band? Because when you move to a town, there's not a lot of choices unless you go out and start stealing dudes from other bands.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Right. And, It
that was my mode.
That was your
That's
MO?
Always been mine.
Yeah. You're going to go ahead.
I'm not like a put an ad in the paper guy.
Yeah. No. That's not, it's not very helpful.
Or plus I'm so old. I used to put ads in papers.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So when I first moved here, Seth and I were just kind of like, you know, let's get some jobs and kind of see what's going on, make some money a little bit. And we met people through like working in restaurants and stuff. And I've worked in a couple restaurants since I've been here. But I can't remember where we, I think we met, honestly, I think we did meet some people like online, like our first drummer we had met online, and he never even played a show out with us. And then we met Scotty. Scotty is our drummer now, and he's been our drummer since we've played shows here. So okay. Him. And then I had actually worked with this guy, Bo, who ended up, he played guitar and he did like some banjo and stuff too.
But there's no banjo now.
There's no banjo now. No. Banjo's gone. Bo's gone. But Bo's actually, he's a badass.
And you had a girl for a while in the band?
There was a girl for a little while. Pictures. Yeah, so she, whenever we went and recorded that record, she...
That's her singing on there?
She came, yeah, and she sang some like backup vocals the first time we were recording some stuff. And she's like, yeah, I mean, I can play guitar too. So she came around with us for a while and we played shows and she played and sang and...
Where'd she go?
She is doing school and just focusing on other things.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That weirds me out. Like, I'm like, how can you, I mean, it's weird because I'm like 49 and I'm still like same way I was when I was 21 and people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to drop out. I'm just going to go back to school. You're like, are you crazy?
Yeah. School? Yeah. I've actually thought
that
before.
You don't want to get in a van and travel to Chicago for $19? Yeah. Come on, man. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's the best. It's the best way. I realized, well, I guess not early on, but quickly after that whole law school debacle, I figured out that, like, oh, I can't work in an office and I can't have a regular job. It's not going to work for me. I'm very passionate about music and performing and, like, being an entertainer and all that. Jazz and
well, you obviously have taken some big steps. I mean, you worked with a guy that produces real records for real people out there doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to be weird sounding, but you, I mean, you went for like the best guy, one of the very best guys you can find here.
Yeah,
and one of the best guys you could find anywhere, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And you hired a publicist.
Yeah.
To do this thing, I mean, there's like a team in place. So what's the strategy? I mean, have you been, because now it's not just making the EP and putting one song on the internet.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah.
Now you
got to
really do some stuff. You're on my podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, my God,
things are
going
happening
fast. This is the montage scene of you getting successful in your movie.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. I wonder what song will be playing in the background.
Well, it'll probably be one of yours. Oh. I'm going to guess since it's out now and people could hear it, it's coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's out now, right?
That is out now. That is.
Hey, I couldn't find a video.
The video is being premiered
okay.
soon.
Okay, good.
Very soon.
Because yes. I was like, am I just stupid or what's going on here?
No, it's coming. The team is working on that right now.
Okay. So you did put a team together. You got a real, like not a real band, but you got some solid dudes.
Yeah. Got a real band. Everything was fake before, but now these people all have heartbeats. They have a pulse. It's very exciting. Yeah, got some real dudes, some super talented guys. I'm really excited about it. So we have, Jeremy Stein is this dude that plays crazy good guitar. He's crazy good at the piano and he's got like production skills too. The dude like sits in his room for like 20 hours and comes back and he's like, hey man, can you sing on this thing? And I was like, sure. And like I was like, I don't have any words, I'm kind of singing nonsense. He's like, oh, it doesn't really matter. And then I like came back like the next day, he's like still in there, and I was like, oh, what's going on, dude? And he's like, check this out. And it's just like a whole, like, he made a whole song like out of like just like little chops of my voice and stuff, like that kind of crazy weird.
Is it
like
good?
Detail. Yeah. He's really, really good. It's really talented. And
do you
really
know
exciting.
How to do that? I still write songs with guitars and pianos.
I write a song with a guitar.
I need to do that stuff. So.
I really would like to get better at it because I think it's obviously like very heavily influencing pop culture right now, and it's very cool sounding and like slick and.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that because you're a young guy, and the way that music is sounding now, at least over the last like 3 years, is drastically different in the pop sense. Like where rock, I don't understand where it goes.
Like where rock goes?
Like, yeah, I don't listen to 101X. I don't know exactly what's happening on that station. I don't spend a lot of time listening to a lot of radio.
Yeah.
I do. I find that KUTX throws a lot of new shit at me that I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. I think.
Is that a way to not sound favorable to one radio station than another? Because I love all the radio stations.
Yeah, no, they're all doing a great job.
Yeah.
I think what's happening is there's like more and more genre crossover these days. And I think as far as rock goes, I honestly think that there's going to be a pushback to kind of some of the more like dirty, heavier, like not way over the top, like, you know, I can't think of anything.
Like Soundgarden or something.
Yeah, but like more the like alternative, like alternative rock from like the 90s. I don't know. I feel
in the cycle of things, there's been a whole, then there was this sideline of that Hey Ho thing that happened. And then there were these weird bands like, in the last decade, like the Pumped Up Kicks, those guys.
Yeah, Foster the People.
Yeah.
And then that's like, that was like, see, like their first song, you're like, oh, this is kind of like a rock song, but kind of like an electronic band. And I think that the thing is going to be, or not the thing, but I think one of the things that's like popular is like just kind of infusing electronics into your music in some way, which I'm all for. Like, I love like 808 drums and I love like cool synthesizers.
There's some stuff on your record like that, stuff on it, sensibilities
and
of that.
And
but
I
not,
think it's not over the top right. by any means. And I think that the direction that we're going in will have a little more of that, but still have, you know, a guitar rocking through like a Klon, you know what I mean? And just getting like dirty and coming in with some distortion and some, you know, every once in a while I might raise my voice. I might scream. I don't know, you know? But I think kind
guys
of
got blend, scream.
Guys get a scream sometimes. So I think it's just kind of a, like a blend of things. And at least for me, it's like I just kind of want to blend together all the sounds that I like. Like I loved alternative rock. I love, you know, there was a small time in college whenever I was like really into Deadmau5 for like 6 months and did the whole EDM thing.
Oh, that's the guy with the
fake head lights up.
Yeah. I just lost myself. Yeah. I knew who he was when he was happening.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard his name in a long time.
I don't know that anybody listens to him anymore. Well, maybe they do, but I don't. I don't really listen to any EDM at this point. But
I think it was pretty fast.
Yeah, and I think that there's still like a very specific group of people that like are gung-ho about it, and
yeah,
I think
it's
like part
it
of
like
before. It's a culture, and I think there is like not to like totally like jump on the whole genre or like group everything in, but I feel like I didn't like that music, and then I decided to try drugs, and then I liked that music a lot, and then I was like, all right, I don't really want to do the drugs anymore, and I was like, all right, I still remember the music, and it reminds me of the time, but that's kind of, it was a time and place thing for me.
I remember I started this podcast, and it was going.
Yeah.
Strong, you know. I started this in 2011, and it was
okay,
like
it was
rolling,
happening for sure, with,
so to speak.
Rolling, yeah, it was definitely
rolling.
So to speak. Yeah.
And I mean, by that time, also, I was already in my 40s,
yeah,
right. So I'm not going to take Molly,
yeah,
and go to a place where I'm everyone's dad's
19,
age,
yeah.
And also you're like, oh, don't drink out of that thing. You don't know if someone put something. I get like that. That's kind of
that's
the vibe that I have
yeah.
when I go out now.
Yeah.
It's really sad. So I couldn't get into it. And there was some stuff that I was starting to find, because I was really trying to get, I was like, this is obviously like the whole culture is like shifting into this world.
Yeah.
Where like the pop music was reflecting with a that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
everything,
like everything
yeah.
had that thing.
Quarter, eighth, 16th.
And so I found that a lot of that stuff, when I'd listen to it, like a Skrillex or Deadmau5 or something like that, I felt like this is just sounds that are cool when you're on drugs. Because, like, as a guy, like in his 40s, you're like, the song starts, you hear the sounds, and as a person who records and makes music, you're like, oh, cool. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, in the 70s, the dance music had songs.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I like. Where's that in this thing? There's nothing. It's just literally a sequence of weird sounds.
Exactly. And I felt like that's why I feel like it kind of capped out. Like, it's like, okay, you heard it, you're into it, you want to go get sweaty in some big warehouse, dope, perfect for that, I guess. But now it's like, I want to take the things from it that I did like the fact that you can like feel a beat in your chest. Like, I love that thing.
Yeah.
I love the real slick, like synthy, like those synth sounds that are almost like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a saw wave. It's just like a feeling, you know what I mean? Like one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I like taking that and like then toss it onto the fact that I love words and I like to, you know what I mean?
Songs,
like, I like to make a song and I like to make you feel something and I like to like explore random thoughts that I have and turn it into a story, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like just kind of blending everything together. And then, you know, also I like to like, you know, bang my head a little bit, you know? So if you toss all those things together, I'm into it. So that's good enough for me.
You know what I liked? The thing that preceded that, which was, I guess, the DJs that were guys putting songs like Fatboy Slim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess they were in the same, they were predecessors of whatever happened. I like that stuff and Moby Play.
Moby. Oh, that great, Play that album record's was good. Great. That was really good.
Yeah. Want to hear a great story about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to be on a subsidiary of Elektra Records. He was signed to Elektra before that record came out.
Okay.
And he turned that record into the president, who was the president when we were there. Her name was Sylvia Roan, and she saw this, listened to the record, and said, "This has no commercial potential," which is a weird phrase to use, because every song on that record was licensed more than once. Like, I don't know if you remember the culture, every commercial. That's when all of a sudden songs could be in commercials, and you didn't have like the Nirvana reaction to it, like, dude, you fucking sold out. It was like, oh, fuck yeah, he's in that Cadillac commercial.
Yeah, you're like stoked about it. This music that I'm listening to, everybody's gonna hear it. That's cool. Like,
yeah. Do you have a person that's, is radio some kind of concern for you guys at this point?
Like, how do you mean? You mean just like,
getting on the radio? Did you look for a radio person? Are you?
We didn't get like a radio promoter.
Okay. I had this talk with this guy the other day because I'm actually the producer's coming in after you that's producing my next record. And I haven't put out a record in like 8 years. Everything's changed so much. Mm-hmm. And this dude I was talking to that's putting out a record was like, man, I gotta met with this lady. And, you know, now that I spent like fucking, I don't even know how much, he's like $18,000 making the record now.
Yeah.
He's got to put $20,000 into the promotion because he's got to do this with the publicist and then that for a few months with the radio person. And
yeah, it's crazy.
That's a lot of money, man. Where are you gonna get that?
Oh, sell your body or something. I don't know. It's not from selling CDs. Not, that's for sure. But
it's not from slinging barbecue.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's just not a lot of ways to come up with that money. And then I got really discouraged. I was like, well, what am I gonna do? And then I was like, well, I gotta make music and put it out.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just part of the thing. That's what I haven't looked into a radio promoter yet, but I was talking to Taylor Wilkins about it the other day.
He's my friend.
Otis
the Destroyer.
Yeah. And he was saying he went that route instead of publicist, and I went the publicist route. And so it's like almost like you have to like choose what you're going to spend your money on, because it's like, it's tough. It's tough. There's a lot of money to be put into stuff if you want to like really like, I don't know. And then there's also like, I'm like talking over myself now, because it's like, well, then there's also the side, it's like you could do it yourself if you really just like put your back into it, but I don't know how
you don't
far
have those connections.
You can't
get people to listen to your thing.
Yeah.
You haven't gone to lunch with them.
Yeah.
You know, so, over the last year, 12 times or 18 times. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you have to hire those people, because
they're like, oh, I can just text them. Be like, hey, check this out. But yeah, that's the struggle. That's the thing. It's like you don't know.
And you work with Heather, right?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
And she do you guys meet about strategy?
We have been putting things together. So we had this show on Wednesday last week at Stubbs that we were putting things together for, and then we talked on the phone on Friday, and I think we're going to meet this week to kind of get like the final game plan.
Yeah,
for the
she
rest
really.
Of the...
I actually sat in. You know that company TuneCore?
Yeah.
Okay, so the lady Amy,
mm-hmm.
meet her?
No, I haven't.
Oh. She runs the office here. They have a podcast that they put out, and they do different, I guess people from different regions do different episodes. And so I record the ones that she does here, and she had Heather as her guest last week.
Oh, nice.
And so I got to sit there, and I just recorded it, so I just listened to their whole thing, and I was like, oh, she really, you know, I really have a lot of respect for her and what she does, and she's the only publicist that I really know that well.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like I only know her that well because she's the only one I really feel is, like, worth it.
Yeah.
100%.
Dude, I've heard so many horror stories, too. Not from her. She's the only person I've heard, like, reputable things about.
I told her a horror story when she was here the other day.
What was it?
It was about a publicist that took a band's money that didn't have any music recorded. They were helping them get likes on Facebook, and they were like, but it's really working. We've gotten some likes. And I was like, but
those
aren't
real.
They're not liking anything. Yeah. And they're like, no, they're liking us. And they're like, they don't know what you are.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking phone picture and no, you know what I mean? Yeah. No music. Like what?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And the thought that someone would take something, like that's the lowest of the low. Because you really know how hard that money is to come by.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear about those things all the time. Like I remember I've talked to like several bands that are like, I mean, like, I don't know if I'll ever do a publicist again because we like used one. And it's like we gave them all this money and then like, you know, nothing came of it. And like, I understand also that like part of the thing is like all they can do is pitch you.
All they can do is pitch you. That's
so
the
like
other
if you're not any
too.
Good, then you can't. You know,
I feel like Heather. Another thing about Heather is that she doesn't take just anyone, knowing that she has a reputation and she wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like she can't be like, "Hey, check out this band." Like,
yeah, and
did they record
she did
this
speak
on an
to
iPhone
that in that podcast the other day that they did.
Yeah.
She was actually on my show, too,
a
couple months ago. Yeah, if you can dig through the archives, you'll see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a good guest.
Yeah.
No, she's a good person.
She's
a really
good person. She's awesome. She's got a great team and a great, her experience is very awesome and also very interesting. Like, she told me a story about REM, oddly enough, about, like, hanging out with them in Paris, like, a long time ago. Just random stuff like that. She's got a lot of cool stories.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, So it's good that she chose you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good, I know Frenchie doesn't work with just anyone either.
Yeah, that was.
So that's and your music's really good. Oh, and the record's really good. I can't wait for people to hear it, but people can hear the first single, which is coming down. It's available now. You can go to summerfires.com. JP Welsh. John Patrick Welsh. Let's talk to young John Patrick Welsh. Yeah. Are you also Irish or something?
Yeah. Well, the lineage gets a little muddy because my grandfather actually was an orphan and he was raised by a priest. He was like left on the doorstep of like a of a priest in Boston, I think. So that line goes a little gray, but yeah, I would imagine we're like Irish or Welsh, I guess maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Wales. Somewhere over there. For sure.
like Wales.
Like Wales.
We're like Wales.
We're like Welsh.
Is there anything I'm missing?
I guess I've talked about everybody. And the last member is a buddy of mine named Matt Gilmore.
Matt Gilmore.
Yeah. He's a great guitar player. He plays keys as well. He's going to do some singing with us.
So you got three guitar playing guys?
We have three people that can play the guitar. And
do you sometimes have three guitars at once?
We do
a la Radiohead?
Yeah,
that's good. Do you like Radiohead?
I do like Radiohead.
They're from the 90s.
Yeah, they are. They are. I do like Radiohead.
Have you gone with them the whole way? Like, are you still there? Or is there a point where you were strong in and then you had to go like, okay, guys, this is like an electronic popcorn machine song with a guy moaning.
Yeah, I don't love everything that Radiohead's ever done.
What's your favorite stuff, though? Like the Bends and OK Computer?
Bends. I love the Bends. Oh, God, it's so good. I love the Bends. I love some songs on OK Computer. I always forget which song it is, but there's a song that has the most interesting guitar solo that was done with a computer program that, like, every note that they hit, it would, like, shift it up, like, an octave and move it around. I forget every time. It's gonna make me look like a total fool trying to think of it, but I think it was on Kid A, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But I love the Bends. I love the older stuff, and then like there's some stuff from like I remember whenever In Rainbows came out.
Yeah, that was good.
And that was really exciting. I enjoyed that, and I, you know, like you could pay whatever you wanted to, and I was like, I'm paying full CD price because I think that that's what you should do. I was all like high and mighty about it, and and I think that they probably are doing just fine.
Oh, man, you know what? I have this guy that's coming in like next week or something, and he sent me his bio today. And when I was doing my stuff this morning, like getting ready for you, and I've got another one later, and I was going through his thing and kind of reading his bio and stuff, and mm-hmm. he was like, so I'm doing this thing where I'm like, I'm not streaming. Like, you have to buy this thing. And I was just like,
oh.
Yeah, it's like a guy's first record, too. It's just kind of like, wow, as a new artist, that's a really weird thing to do.
It's a bold move, man.
Yeah, like, hey, I'm not going to do anything anybody does. I'm going to make you do stuff you don't want to do as a society. And even though you don't know who I am.
If he pulls it off, more power to him. But
yeah, I was pretty blown away. I mean, I'm interested to see what he has to say for himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's a, I mean, there's no way.
I wish that was still how it was rocking. Like, that would be great. But I don't think that,
you know, I'm getting less and less because, again, like I started this podcast in 2011 where there were still some people that my age, maybe a little older, still putting out records and shit, and be like, no, fuck that, man, you're going to buy it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not how, that's not what's going to happen.
You can stream now.
Yeah.
You know what I heard recently, which I cannot corroborate this. This is just something that I had heard. Oh, it was on a different podcast. It was on the Joe Rogan podcast. Billy Corgan was on there talking.
Oh, really?
And he was talking about how the streaming, you know, record labels do this whole thing where they like act like, oh, we can't even make any money anymore because the way that streaming works, you know, the artists aren't getting paid, so we're not getting paid from all this stuff. But there was like a real like backdoor situation where like the major record labels got in with like Spotify and the major streaming companies at the beginning and said, well, if this is the way that it's going to go, we want to own a piece of the company. Mm-hmm. So they make profits off of them getting bigger.
Yeah.
And but that's at not the cost direct, of the artist.
Right, but it's not, there's not a direct line.
Yeah, there's not a direct line. So that's, it's...
Yeah, they're always...
So they get to do the two-sided, like, hey, we're not making any money off of you anymore, but also, because of that, you're going to need to give us a higher percentage.
Right.
Which you know, is dark, some dark magic.
The thing about that guy is that I feel like, I don't know what else he said, but I've heard him say a lot of stuff over the years.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of complaining. And there was a lot of complaining, like when he was very famous, there was a lot of complaining.
Why are you so upset about
it? And you realize, like, oh, he's a guy that's always going to be
upset. He's got an axe to grind all the
time. No, did you see the Eagles documentary?
No.
There's a thing where David Geffen's like, Don Henley's always going to be upset. Like there's nothing. He's an, what did he call him? He's just an unhappy person. He's always going to have
something to be complaining.
He's always going to be fighting against something.
Yeah, which you gotta that's who be he like, is. Dude, yeah. Don, you made it. Like, settle down.
You're well, doing, also, David Geffen screwed the hell out of him, like, a couple of times.
That's
so
true.
And not, and but, I mean, I think it's weird that he went back to Geffen, which was weird, but still.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway.
It's ancient history at this point, I guess.
Yeah. So, backdoor deals, Spotify. Oh, you want to get on Spotify playlist, don't you?
Oh yeah, how does yeah, exactly. one do that?
Well, you know what? They radio promoter guys. That's a job that's getting
more
smaller and smaller. And they're Spotify playlist guys that get you on a certain person's playlist. Like that's like a new radio
you can
promoter.
Hire
yeah,
a guy.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
Yeah,
I might need to look into this.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I don't know how you do any of this, man. This stuff is crazy, but I do appreciate your art and I appreciate your record.
Thanks, man.
Are you guys playing any shows in between now and your release show?
We will not be playing any shows here until January
18th. So you're just
going to
build it up, blow it up. Who else is on that bill with you? Did you put together a special bill?
We have a band called The Cuckoos. Mm-hmm. And we also have Matt Gilmore has his own band called Matt Gilmore. So Matt Gilmore is going to be playing. We're going to be playing. And The Cuckoos will be playing on January 18th at Stubbs.
January 18th at Stubbs Indoors. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great day for you guys. A 7-song EP, your debut EP. It's called Without a Word, produced by Frenchie Smith. Available at the show that night, right?
Yes.
You're going to have CDs?
We will have CDs at the show, yeah. For all good. Those people who want to collect some CDs.
Dudes that need coasters.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder what's more expensive, having your logo put on a coaster or making a bunch of CDs, because that is a way to handle it. Like,
that's
hey,
true.
This is it's a coaster, man.
It's a coaster.
These are like retro coasters.
Download.
Yeah. These are retro coasters, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sincerely. It's good stuff.
Well, good luck. Your record's great, and the band sounds great. I hope I get to see you guys. I hope I'm not playing on January 18th.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Hope come out.
People go to summerfires.com. JP Welsh, it's been a great, great getting to know you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
All right. That's Summer Fires, their debut EP, Without a World, available Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Their single, Coming Down, which you just heard a little bit of, is available now. Go to summerfires.com for all your Summer Fires need. Don't forget that you can get out to their EP release show Thursday, January 18th at Stubbs Indoors. That's January 18th, 2018. We're talking about next year. We're already there. We're already there. I hope you guys all have a great, happy Thanksgiving. Whatever it is you're doing, I hope you're spending it with loved ones. If you're new to the show and you want to catch up, you want to see what other stuff we have, there's hundreds of episodes. You can go to howdidigethere.podbean.com, start scrolling through. If you want to go through month and year, you can go on the right-hand column. You can find them there. But otherwise, you can go back a page. There's about 20 per page. Just go back, keep scrolling back, 10 or 20 per page. All right, thank you so much for listening to the show. Have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving, whatever it is you're doing. I'm thankful for you for listening to this show. Let's hear some more music from Summer Fires. Have a great Thanksgiving. Let's get down.